QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, anyway, we'll go over the topics for this evening. Got a couple things here. They do have the field day results for this past year. Finally have been released and are in the December QST. And we have one of our members here right on Tech Tuesday and a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club is the FKN poster boy. Also got his picture in there again on page 87. And we'll talk a little bit about the Digital QST Android app and the ARRL Digital Future, including Facebook and the ARR letter being published on QRZ.com. But first, our roster, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is WB6CLZ, and we're here in Irwin Lake tonight.
Well, good deal, Mike. Glad to have you out there. And how about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Glad to have you and Mike with us this evening, especially Mike, co-hosting here. How about KA6CIA, George?
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Thanks for joining us from Lucerne Valley. And let's see here. Next, I have on my list, moving on down here, I have, nobody hasn't checked in a while. We're going to drop him from the list. Let's just move over to WA6ITC, Rod.
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you with us, as always. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Good evening. I finally got to check in on time. KJ6FIL.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. We're going to call you a water heater man. All right. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL checking in.
And thanks for checking in out there, Jim and Rosemary. Glad to have you with us. And let's see, how about KI6IQA Kelly? And another nerd from Kelly out there, how about K9AOG Steven from Long Beach? Don't hear Steven out there, how about K6GVL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. This is K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there checking in from Green Valley. How about AD6PL, Harold from Riverside?
Good evening, AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you with us. And he might be out there mobile. Let's see if we can get KJ6RAY, Ray. All right, not hearing him out there yet. And let's see if Clint's out there. K6LCS, Clint from Aruba Valley. All right, not hearing Clint. How about KJ6PYV Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there with us this evening. Well, let's see, I know he was out there earlier and he said he wouldn't, but we'll give W6POO Chip a courtesy check-in. And moving on down right to K6YNW, Chris. All right, not hearing Chris out there yet. Let's see, moving on down here to KD6LEN, Bill.
Yeah, good evening all, KD6LEN.
And good evening there, Bill. Glad to have you out there. Well, let's see. Let's try Shelley in Apple Valley, KJ6QYN. Right, not hearing them out there. Let's move on to page two with AE6CK. Victor.
Good morning, Tom and Vanette. Victor Santa Fe Springs.
And good morning to you, Victor, or this evening or this afternoon, however it applies. Good to have you out there, Victor. Let's see here. And, oh, the star of the December issue, KA6ROD Rod. We're not hearing him out there. Oh, that's okay. And let's see if Christy's out there, KB6LTY. Not hearing Christy out there. How about W6JET Rob? All right, well, we got a few missing people this evening, but let's see who we have out there. Anybody who'd like to check in late or checking in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
This is KK6FJE, Zach up in Sugarloaf.
Zach, glad to have you with us again. Appreciate that from Sugarloaf. Anybody else?
DK6HUB. Irwin Lake.
And Bob out there at Irwin Lake. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else?
And KE6FQC. We'll listen in tonight, Tom. Good evening.
Steve, glad to have you out there. What, the TV must be broke, right? Glad to have you and Debbie out there. Anybody else?
Just no DX.
Nice to hear you. And 6QCU, Fontana.
Hi, Wayne, got you in there, N6QCU from Fontana. Anybody else?
K6CXF, Tom, Riverside.
And Tom, we got you in here again from Riverside. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else? Well, looks like we have a lot of guests this evening, and that's all great. All right, well, Mike, thanks for sending me that email. Pretty cool stuff here. He's not out there tonight. Our own Rod, KA6ROD, the SKN poster child, guy, on page 87 of the December QST, beautiful picture. I think that looks like the same picture that he put in years ago. I don't know if it is, but we'll have to ask him. Mike, I'll hand it over to you.
I think it is. I don't have last year's handy, but it sure looks like his smiling face there. Well, darn it. I thought he would be out there and kind of give us a rundown on what Straight Key Night is. But since he's not, you want me to take care of it?
Well, yes, go ahead. Let's give us a little more information here on Rod.
Well, every year since I've been a ham, on January 1st, everybody who else goes out and parties and enjoys themselves, but hams, nah, not us. We're a tough bunch. We get our old straight key, and I see Rod here has the same key that I have sitting in front of me. It's a J38 that he had as a child. I have mine right here, the nasty-looking thing. It needs to be re-chromed or re-nickel-plated, I think they are, and everything. But we get out, and we talk to each other with our straight keys on CW. And instead of contesting, which is really not a contest, it's basically a rag queue night where you sit there and you have enjoyable CWQSOs. And they have awards, the best fist. For those of you that don't know, that's how you send CW. A lot of us have a little swing to it where we add a bit of time to a dot or a dash, and it sounds interesting. It's music to a CW operator's ear. And most interesting, let me reset. Had to get that ID in there. Most interesting QSO award. So there's a couple of awards, and it's a perfect opportunity for you to fire up your vintage gear. I've kind of been looking for an HW8, a little Heath kit. I think that would be a neat one, vintage QRP gear, but haven't found one for the right price yet. So you fire up your vintage gear when you can on Straight Key Night and just have fun. That's about the end of it. And let's check and leave a second just see if Rod has popped up and he can give us some of his experiences if he has. KE6ROD, are you there? He's not.
All right, Mike, well, appreciate all that information. Good deal. Glad to see one of our locals get in there. And, Mike, looks like we got our results posted from Field Day also here, and that's on page 80, is that correct?
Do you, I've got it all written down here and what it means and what we did. Do you want to take it or do you want me to?
Mike, I'm going to go ahead and hand that over to you. Looks like we did get 11th place, which is not as well as we did the previous year, but I see that... Of all the people in there in that division, I don't see too many from the orange section. And as we know, we had a great amount of difficulty here on the West Coast. So I think that was part of it. Go ahead, Mike. I'll turn it over to you for KO6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
Tom, yeah, I see that we're 11th place. I didn't count it, but I'll take your word for it. looks like we had 506 contacts, and then the 2 in the next column means that the transmitters we were running were less than 150 watts. We had 22 participants, so in the little Field Day site we had out in the boonies, we had 22 people come and operate and leave or stay or, you know, whatever. And it looks like our total points... our score was 24-10, and then it says here that we're in the orange section. So, yeah, not bad. We were a little higher last year, but, you know, it's still, that's pretty darn good considering all the people that that work Field Day. Back to you, Tom. WB6CLZ with Tech Tuesday.
You know, and Mike, actually, if you look at all the suffixes down there, I mean, we are in the orange section out here on the West Coast, and then there was a high placer LAX area. But you know what? It looks like a lot of the others are either up north or all in the east in the eastern area, and we know that we had quite a large amount of difficulty breaking from the East Coast or from the West Coast back to the East Coast, so... A lot of different conditions, and you know what, you just can't predict that, but hey, you know what, it's fun, we had a great time, and we're going to do it again this next coming year, so not a problem. All right, let's move on to another neat little thing here, Mike. I see they have a new digital QST Android app. That's pretty cool. I don't have a smartphone, but you do, if you tried that.
Can't say I've tried it, but I picked up a... I'm a track phone user. I'm one of those cheap guys, and they finally made smartphones available. So I've got a Samsung Galaxy here that is Android-based, and yeah, I really like it. I haven't learned the total workings of it yet, and I'm not a fast-fingered kid by any means, but I did download the app. It took me about, 3 or 4 minutes at the most, and then you log in with your QST or with your ARRL login, and right in the palm of your hand, you've got the QSD. So basically, it's like a Kindle, only smaller. And like I say, I have not tried it, but I know that it just came out recently, so I just had to have it. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. And that's, like I say, the December QST has just come out, and I don't have my physical issue yet. I hope I'm getting one. Anyway, but looking through the digital edition here, which is still pretty cool. Got to get used to maneuvering through it a little bit. I guess it's really not too hard once you get the hang of it. But, Mike, I think that's pretty neat. So what is, I guess I haven't found where that's at, but the ARRL future is going to be on Facebook.
Well, I might say real quick before we move to that, Tom, is that you can go to your Google, now I can't find it, your Google Play Store, and just type in ARRL app, and it will come up. So it's real easy to get, and it is free. Yeah, digital future. Well, I guess they published three different digital versions of QST each month. One is a browser-based version. Now, realize I'm not really up with this stuff. The other is an iOS app, and the other is the Android app that we've been talking about. So right now, they published three versions. And there will be other digital publishing platform that they're going to consider in the future. And they're saying that, they're also going to do digital replica versions. I thought they did that, but I'm not, I guess maybe not for the digital. I thought you could go all the way back, so I don't know really what that means. But they match and look the format, exactly like the print version. So netbook media in a few years will be migrating up to a single version of digital QST that will be published on an advanced HTML platform. And I guess this will be compatible with all the devices and operating systems. So it's just going to be one platform, and all operating systems will be able to access it. At that time, I guess it'll be completely redesigned to accommodate that format, and it'll look and act differently than the in-print version now, obviously. Now I'll let you talk about Facebook, because I am not a Facebook user and don't know that much about it. So go ahead, Tom. Let's see what they have up in store for us for Facebook.
Well, Mike, I hate to say this, but there's two of us that have very little to do with Facebook. You're number one, and I'm number two. However, everybody out there in the world is on Facebook, and that's great to have that out there. So I'm sure they'll probably have their own page. And, of course, this is always a great place for them to post information and just general stuff out there. You know, it's pretty neat. You know, I guess if you're a Facebook fanatic, it'll just be one more place you can go there. And let's see, I don't know what they're going to do for friends. But I guess maybe you should already be a friend if you're a member, right? I don't know. Anyway, Mike, pretty cool stuff here. Just kind of scanning through the index here of if I can ever find, there we go, okay, getting it to change pages here of this QST, and a lot of neat stuff here. There's a lot of different places. Let me reset here real quick. Any things that have happened here in the news here recently, of course, where hams have been out there either assisting or even helping to send out information on. One specifically, Colorado flooding and ham radio doing public service. And that's on page 57. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool article there. Neat stuff here with modern breadboarding techniques and tools. You know, I think that's something we could look at there. Pretty neat if you like to build stuff. I think we've all built something called ugly bug or ugly construction. Basically, soldering stuff where you can on a little pad type of phenolic board. And yeah, it looks ugly, but you can actually try to get something up and running. I guess you could always make it pretty later. Mike, you want to go over there and let's check out this one by Dick Barnett, call sign N6NP on page 38 of the December QST. Mike, take it away from KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Tom, modern breadboarding tools and techniques. Well, I've done a little bit of breadboarding. I know Cindy has done probably more than I have. But I know that she had a class where she used these things. I think they're still kicking around the house. Basically, they're a board with holes in it. And you can plug in your resistors, your lights, and that kind of thing, and lamps, rather, switches and such, and transistors, basically make a circuit out of it. Well, let's go. This is, like you said, Dick Barnett, N9NP, first licensed in 1964, and for him, a breadboard circuit consisted of a wooden board on which bread had been sliced, hence breadboard, and they screwed down like an octal socket, miniature tube sockets, terminal strips, and then they connected up their discrete parts using wires. Well, that's how you say it. Those at the cutting edge of technology might have included a transistor or two. Oh, yeah, the old CK255. I'm sure people out there know that. That's one of the first ones that came out. And then today they have integrated circuits, which everybody knows, surface mount technologies, LCD displays, microcontrollers, and a host of electronic devices that may be applied to the do-it-yourself circuit projects. The newer devices present a few challenges in the modern breadboarding process. Tom, are you able to read along, and should I kick it over to you, or you want me to keep going? Back to you, KF6Q, WB6CLZ, Tech Tuesday.
And KF6Q here for ID, Tech Tuesday in the group. Every Tuesday we can. Yeah, I got this up here, Mike. Very cool. Actually, the one that they're showing there with a picture of, I actually have parts and pieces in that line. That I got years ago. Also, back in the 60s, going back to breadboarding there, one of the other things popular besides actual breadboards was pegboards. Get a piece of masonite pegboard, and with that, a couple little rubber grommets or something to keep it off the tabletop or something, but little spring clips with wires. And you know what? Of course, this stuff was real basic. Not going to have great VHF or UHF signals going through that stuff, but you could do a lot of audio stuff and some basic AM radio stuff, things of that nature, and it was pretty neat. Of course, you got jumper wires going to wherever you're going to have something go, little power supply. Generally, the power supply was a battery. You know, you had a little battery clip there, and you throw some D cells in there, and, you know, that was all pretty safe. And kept you from plugging stuff in the outlet. So with all that good stuff, though, I mean, yeah, it has gone to the next level. And I think with that, let me reset. Now, some of the newer devices, of course, are very miniature ICs. But there are a few companies out there. SparkFun is actually one. There is FutureLEC is another. And they have, they're available online, and they have these little, what they call breakout boards. And what the breakout boards are, essentially, is one of these ICs, one of the state-of-the-art things, and they have the little pinouts on them. With that, you can integrate that. If you look at the picture, you'll see one actually in there. It's a little separate, looks like almost like a USB little interface device there. And that's true. You can interface to USB. You can actually get IP addresses, you can do Wi-Fi, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, Mike, I'll go ahead and let you take that second paragraph as I've, you know, just kind of a little background on this other stuff. Go ahead, Mike, from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Yeah, and I remember a little phenolic board, kind of an orangish, yellowish color with holes in it, and we used to put the components through that and then wire on the back side and connect everything together. So, yeah, it's kind of the same thing and only different. Well, it says breadboarding circuits is a fun and relatively painless way to try out circuit ideas and projects. They're talking about the one we're talking about, figure one, and I do see the little USB up in the upper kind of right-hand corner of figure one. And that is a third generation of an auxiliary display project, and he's tried out a number of different features and operational modes before he soldered anything in a permanent fashion. He's introducing some methods and tools to make breadboarding easier. I guess figure one shows a breadboard for auxiliary display and mode control project that he was just talking about. The project displays the in-band frequency, and other if it's out off frequency or not in the frequency band, it says out of band. So that's kind of cool. I think my radios do that when I try to tune them or transmit out of band, and I think most of the new stuff does. And he can even control the license privileges for that frequency. So that's pretty cool. Here it says 1407 megahertz. That's 20 meters CW and EAG, so extra advanced in general can use that frequency. So that's kind of what he's talking about. Also provides a USB CAT interface for his little Elecraft K2. Back to you, Tom, and then we'll get into the third paragraph.
Well, Mike, yeah, that's all pretty cool. He's actually working in conjunction with his radio. And a lot of this stuff, too, a lot of these sites, SparkFun is got one of the, probably, a, or not one, it's got a huge selection of parts, and they are actually affordable parts for this stuff, as well as FutureLink and many, many others out there. But he's got all the different devices he's got hooked in here, and you've got to pay attention to this in the sense is that, you know, if you hook stuff up wrong, it's not going to work. So don't give up, okay? Always have to check your wiring. And you can see here he's got pretty clear cut of the different resistors and things he's got hooked up there. So with that all said, it's a good and cheap way to play around with some stuff, especially if you've got a parts box or something like that, and you've got a snowy day outside. Hey, well, that might be coming up here soon. Oh, Mike. Anyway, but very, very cool. So with all that said, Mike, I'll go ahead and turn the article itself back over to you, and let's go ahead and continue. From KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Well, he's basically talking about the breadboard sizes and shapes and pins and sockets. So let's see if we can summarize this a little bit here. I guess there's figure two. Excuse my hiccups. Figure two shows three convenient breadboards, types and sizes. And it just looks like One's pretty large, one's kind of medium, and one's a little bit smaller. And I don't understand why one is red color unless it's a different manufacturer. But, they all look basically the same. Each vertical row of five holes connects beneath the circuit surface of the board to a clip that solidly grips and connects wires and pins pressed into any hole of that row. So you just kind of press them in, and it's kind of, oh, let's see, what can I describe like that? But you put it in, and then it grips it. There's electrical devices that I deal with that are like that, but I just can't bring it up right now. Anyway, for example, a microcontroller in IC pin 2, the second pin from the lower left of the IC, connects to a 4.7 ohm resistor, and that shows that on his thing. I can't see it that well because it's not that well lit. This is an electrician's house. Anyway, and it just goes on to tell how this connects to that. The horizontal groups of five holes along the breadboard edges usually connect in a long bus that is a convenient connection point for a ground or a supply voltage. So that looks like a common point for, like they say, either a ground or a supply voltage. I'm going to reset. I guess the break in these bus connections occurs at the center point of the larger breadboard so that it makes two long circuits. And as you can see, the short red and black jumpers span these gaps, and that's on his particular one there that is the working one. And he usually routes the supply voltage on the inner bus and ground on the outer bus. So I guess you can assign any signal or any voltage that needs a multiple connection to the different points on the buses. Back to you, Tom.
Mike, yeah, he's got a lot of good information there on just how to connect stuff and how he's connected stuff and things he's done there. But I'd like to really kind of jump ahead here. And he does have a section on here on breadboarding RF and surface mount technology. That's SMT. That's the teeny tiny little things. Because that's small stuff. I mean, we're talking about this is stuff that's very difficult to do with breadboarding, and it's something he's done here. But a lot of these they use these breakout boards, which kind of help a lot, especially with the SMT surface mount technology circuits. And because some of these ICs are only available in that, and if you buy one, I've actually got some here. In packages, they were actually samples that were sent from Texas Instruments, and I'm going to tell you, I could barely see the thing, let alone hook wires to it. So they're still sitting in this little shipper that came. So the best thing is look for these things that have breakout boards for $3 to $5, $10, something like that, and then you can go from there. So anyway, let's touch more on that, Mike, because I think this is really pretty cool. SMT is a thing of now. And the problem is if you've got a breadboard, it's too tiny. So let's see what he has to say there. He's got some things he's done here with a lot of different useful devices and ICs. Back to you, Mike. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
And then they show the breadboard here, and it's got extra ground plane connections, and I guess it's useful for RF projects up to 100 megahertz. So that's pretty good. It'll take you up to 6 meters, and not quite 2 meters, but maybe they'll come up with an idea for breadboarding that. Then things are getting pretty close together and pretty short for RF. Anyway, it says here that you can breadboard high frequency circuits using that breadboard. And like they say, it's added an extra single-sided circuit board for the ground plane and an extra bare wire ground plane connections from the ground bus. So that's that can make your wires a little bit shorter, I guess. And they said it is regularly used up to 100 megahertz successfully in the ECET labs at Purdue University. Well, that's probably cutting-edge stuff, and I would think that if they're using it, anybody else couldn't, and it worked just fine. They say you might want to spread your circuit out a bit because the adjacent rows can have up to 11 picofarad of capacitance between the row, and that can't be good sometimes. Let's see. It says many very useful devices and ICs are available only in SMT packages. So, yeah, they're getting more and more that are just going only to the SMT, probably because things are getting so small. Like you said, they're getting even hard to see some of those things, little resistors and capacitors. The one of them that lends themselves to breadboarding is called surfboards, and they're from Capital Advanced Technologies. They're one solution for the SMT challenge. They're small circuit boards allowing mounting of SMT parts and provide, looks like a hundredth of an inch spacing along, maybe a tenth of an inch spacing along one edge to the board, fits on the breadboard. You can mount resistors, capacitors, and other discrete parts on the boards. The downside is that once the SMT parts are mounted, they're difficult to remove and reuse. However, surfboards can be reused in your final project as components, so you can save time and effort as you finalize your project. This is kind of above my head, but I'm trying. Okay, Tom. Here's another one on using breakout boards. So I'm going to send it back to you for comments.
Yeah, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. You know, another thing, too, if you're like me and you're a builder, you've probably got that 10-watt soldering iron or 30-watt soldering iron out there, for that really delicate stuff, and a 60-watt if you're fortunate enough to have a second one and have one that's actually going to actually pull something off the board. When we get into these teeny tiny little parts, if you're going to actually work with or modify any, like the surfboards and the Spark Fun Electronics, FutureLeg, tons of people out there, and modify these or actually bring some small parts into your project, look up soldering stations in the what they call rework. Basically what they are, they'll be soldering iron, and possibly with it in the same package is a hot air gun. A lot of this stuff is actually soldered using hot air. They've got little dies and templates for different size devices. There's vacuum things. They're actually These used to be in the thousands of dollars, and there are still some out there in the thousands of dollars. However, search on Amazon or eBay, and you'll find there's a couple of companies out there that have a complete station for basically under $200, and a lot of them under $100, you know, and even cheaper. So I know that is not the same as a $15 soldering iron, but it does open up a lot of doors of working with some of this stuff. And you know what? It's just one of those things I'm going to have to break down and get one, I think, because I've got stuff that I can barely see. Ah, that's the second thing. Mike, seeing what you're working with. Okay, I know that's not in the article here, but magnifying glasses. Do you have one, and have you ever used one for working on stuff?
I have my father-in-law has old glasses that he used to have, old glass, funky glasses that are Coke bottle lenses. And most of the time when I have to do fine work, I'll put those on. Still not convenient. I got one, a little hood that goes over like, and it's magnified. That, you know, does a trick. Actually, I have best luck with those glasses, and it works out pretty good. I had a little problem with the Elecraft K3, and they were having me go back and check measurements on voltage measurements on some of the SMT devices. And I mean, my meter probes are bigger than the device, and it was just really difficult. But yeah, we got through it, and in the end they needed it to be sent back to the factory anyway, so that's what happened. And Tom, you mean I can't just use my old solder sucker anymore? I mean, we have to have all that fancy stuff, and I do remember when those stations were quite a bit of money. Back to you, Tom.
You know what? Yeah, you can. Problem is, with a solder sucker, you're going to suck up about a half a dozen parts with it. So they actually have, and there's a couple out there, I'm not going to mention any company names with that. I don't have them in front of me, but there actually is one that has a lot of stuff at good discount prices, a lot of good reviews, and you'll spot it. They're running right around between $80 to $180 in that range with different type stations. The more expensive stations, they have an air, actually, we'll call it an air gun. If you're actually with a little airstream, hot airstream, and nozzles, and the nozzles, here's the trick. The nozzles are different sizes, diameters, and shapes. There's squares and rectangles for those big ICs. And you can actually get a lot of information on how to use it. That's going to be important. How to unsolder and resolder. And you can pretty much rework just about anything out there if the need was there. But with that said, yeah, if you're going to actually salvage any of the surface mount, let me reset here. If you ever get into surface mounting, you know, and stuff like that, and salvaging off any boards like the capacitors and resistors, you got to be able to see these things. And they're marked, and there's actually lookup charts on them. However, you know, you need what they have. What was it? I think they had on Back to the Future. He had the goggles. And basically, you know, I mean, his eyes looked about 20 times as big as they normally would be. Use those. Use a, you know, some kind of a magnifying glass, and you know, with something like that. And all of a sudden, hey, look, there's writing on that little dot. And resetting one more time. And with all that said, you could have a tiny little vial. It may have about 20,000 capacitors. So storing extra parts is no longer going to be an issue. Okay, you're going to have a ton of stuff if you just can see them and read them. Anyway, but yeah, it's a different type. There's actually a lot of stuff, a lot of books out there, good books by the ARRL in their library about surface mount technology. So kind of neat, you know, if you want to tackle that. It's a big challenge, and of course you need some special tools. Even tweezers are almost a little bit on the large side. Well, you know, those really tiny tweezers, stuff like that. So cool stuff though, Mike. But basically, yeah, the old soldering iron, it's still out there, but that's for hooking the plus and the minus cables to the board. Back to you, Mike, KO62.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting article. I mean, it goes on and on about different breadboards and different manufacturers, and I mean, a very, very in-depth article on the ins and outs tips and tricks and all kinds of stuff on using breadboarding. And on page 40, figure 5, it actually has pictures of these surfboards from the Capital Advanced Technologies. And pretty cool. You can see how the IC fits on there and different discrete components. It's pretty neat. Then they talk about microcontroller boards basically how they use those with breakout boards to access. And, it just for somebody that's interested in this, they need to get this because there is an awful lot of information. I'm going kind of jumping ahead to the tips and tricks. They tell you things like the black is always the digital ground, brown is always the analog ground, red is digital VCC, which is usually 5 volts or 3.3, yellow is positive analog supply, and they go on and on. It's just a pretty in-depth article about breadboarding. I don't think I've seen this much information on breadboarding ever. Back to you, Tom.
You know, too, also in the microcontroller boards and stuff like that, which there are a lot of stuff out here, and as he actually names here, the boards are more correctly termed development boards. And actually, there's a lot of stuff out there. What they are, these gets a little bit pricier. However, they're in part of the Arduino system that you can get going there, and that's all these are like either miniature computers or you can get interfaces going to your computer, and it's all neat. I think actually too, there's just got an email that from the ARRL, and they have a lot of cool books out there. They're offering another book now on PSPICE, which is basically a simulator program. So if you're going to start doing a little design or stuff like that, if you're really going off the edge there, yeah, you can actually, there's a lot of good software they have out there and more books on that. So ARRL is really, they've been out there with this stuff for some time. I love the little USB interfaces into your computer. You can actually get software that works with that. And next thing you know, you're controlling stuff. Then, and just wiring these boards to each other, you can actually get some stuff to do something that you want it to. Actually, some useful purpose, as they say. So, anyway, the sky is the limit here, and of course, we'll never have enough time to cover this, but we always try to touch base on this stuff. Resetting. And I'll touch base with this from time to time. Like I said, this is actually the biggest article I've seen in a QST. And definitely worth looking into. So, anyway, Mike, pretty cool. A lot of good stuff this evening. And let's throw it out there for the group. Any questions or comments, please get back to KM6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Tom, K6LCS for a quickie.
There he is, Clint, giving you a late check-in here. Go ahead.
You probably already covered it, but it was late launching, but at 5:15 this evening, it launched from the East Coast, 29 satellites. The first payload, or the first group of them, was successfully deployed. The rest of them were deployed over an area with no radio confirmation, so we're waiting for 29 different entities on the planet to be listening for their birds to confirm that they all got successfully deployed tonight. Tomorrow night, 11:10 p.m. our time, you can watch it live. The Dnepr rocket is going to launch 32 satellites, 5 or 6, immediately with amateur radio capabilities. Thanks, Tom. K6LCS.
And KF6Q, Tech 2, in the group. Clint, and I appreciate the email copy to me from you and Gordo, and basically, really great to hear this news. A lot of good stuff going back, a lot of our satellites up there, well, the popular ones were just running out of gas, basically, breaking down, and this is really fantastic. A lot of stuff going up in space there. Looking forward to getting back into a lot of, trackthatsatellite.com. No, I'm sorry, that's not a website. Okay. But Clint, appreciate all the information, and thanks again, and please keep us up to date. Possibly by next Tuesday, we'll have some great information there. Well, anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions on breadboarding on steroids here, so we have it? WA6FIZ. And from Upper Moon Ridge, yes, Mickey, go ahead.
Hey, I just looked up at the clock and I figured that the Tuesday net was probably on, so I turned the radio on and I'm going to listen to the discussion about breadboarding. WA6FIZ.
Well, Mickey, always a pleasure to have you join us, and glad you're out there listening in. It's fantastic. As Bluetooth, we all know how Bluetooth helps us, listen to our phones while the phone's in our pocket and the little earpiece is in our ear. Or Bluetooth connects our phone to our new car radio, or all that cool stuff, or Bluetooth connects our computer to something. With all that, there's a lot of basically these modules, Bluetooth modules, and you can actually get some of these devices you build that actually hook to your computer via Bluetooth. So, like I said, if you really get involved with this stuff is available at a very reasonable price, too. This stuff has come down in price, so just look out there and do a little research online. A lot of fun. Boy, I wish they had stuff like this when I was a kid. Oh, wait a minute. They barely had transistors. Okay. Yeah. How about, don't forget about the 2N107 and the 2N404. Mike, those are the very good transistors. Are anybody else out there? Any comments, questions, or suggestions for Tech Tuesday and the group?
I'm at top.
All right, Mike, go ahead, and we'll get ready to wrap this thing up, and back to you.
Yeah, when I was trying to select a topic for tonight, I found one in here, making the switch to LEDs, and when Mickey just announced himself, I was thinking, one of his Collins radios a while back had a light bulb that he could not find for it, a pilot light bulb. Well, this article is on making the switch to LED, and it kind of gives you a little bit of insight on how to replace or modify, actually it's replace, your regular incandescent bulbs in older gear with LEDs. So we may one of these days make that a topic and see if we can get some comments from Mickey. Okay, back over to you, Tom, and I'll let you tie the ribbons on it.
Right, and you know what? Also, too, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff out there. You would be amazed what all of these large manufacturers are offering for free samples. And if you get some free samples from them, they'll probably bug you to get more free samples. But be careful. Like I said, some of these parts available are very small. Okay, so be ready to do some SMT-type soldering or something like that. But if not, anyway, a lot of good stuff out there. Good information. Huge amount of stuff available. It's just, if you're an experimenter, you'll be like a kid in a candy store. All right, last call for any comments or questions before we close the net.
Tom, good evening. W6AWL.
Yes, Art, go ahead.
Just clearing an ECS meeting here in Rialto, see if I can find my way back home. We are covered for Thursday morning from Central Mountain people, but we will be doing a couple check-ins to ISMA and the EOC on the repeater because the frequency they're using, the repeater they're using, is in Crestline.
Well, good deal. Glad you got that ironed out with the communication issue there. Any other good information for us?
Well, I'd make a sales pitch to get more people involved in ACS. I've got a flyer in my hand that I'll send out to our regular people, but all fire and police, and that includes ECS with a fire department card, can get two people into Knott's Berry Farm free from the end of November up until the middle of January.
Well, that sounds fantastic, Art. I think that's a good promotional issue there, and I think that's good news for all of us out there. And tell us some more.
We'll keep working. You know, I'm trying to recruit as much as I can, and, you know, tech people are some of the best that we can have out there working with us. All right, I'm trying to figure out where the freeway is. It's up here somewhere. It's You guys have a good evening. Thanks, Tom, for the work there, and appreciate breaking in. W6AWL.
And thanks for all that good information there, Art, with the San Bernardino County Fire Department ECS Division. All right, anybody else out there before we close the net for questions or comments on let's do some breadboarding? All right, well, that is actually, Mike, got to say that there is so much there. Once again, and of course, every time we get out there, and you'll find that this is going to be coming up more often than not, especially the next, of course, will be interfacing into your little Surface Pad computer, things like that. They're already interfacing with smartphones, too, through the Bluetooth links. Great stuff. I mean, you know, it's just awesome. So. All right, well, I want to thank everybody who joined us this evening. I always like to stay on the cutting edge of some of the stuff out there, and this is really great for experimenters and those who like playing around with electronics. Good stuff. And, of course, we'll be back again here next Tuesday. So please join us again and be right here at the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater at 7 o'clock p.m. And, Mike, thanks so much for all your help, and we'll close out with... This QST, QST, this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting net control. I'm not acting, I am the net control. Okay, for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours and 52 minutes. Once again, thanks everybody for joining us. Love to have you out there. Please come back again, and we'll have some more good stuff out there. Returning the repeater back to normal use. This is KF6Q.